Paul, before we get to all the moves that were made yesterday, can you give us an update on Josh Morrissey?
Josh will be out through the month of March, and his window will open sometime in early April.
So getting ready for today with all the moves that were made, what went through your mind as to how you were able to, especially go through your forwards?
Make as few changes as possible. Also give the new guy a version of more veteran players. I didn't want to move Lowry's line around, so just give him some guys that have spent some time here. Roslovic's still a real young guy. We've still got some very young wingers, so give Kevin two of our more veteran wingers here, and when they're on the bench, they can talk their way through the game.
What do you like, or what do you know about Nathan's game, and what makes him a good
player? Oh, he's got some bite to his game. I've always liked that. He's in the nights that we've played against him, he's gotten one or two pretty good hits. I'm not suggesting that he runs around, but he's got some bite. He closes the gap quick. He's kind of a north defender. If he'll come into plays to defend instead of giving ice to defend. So we like that quickness and we like that bite.
When do you expect Bogdan to be?
This afternoon. Okay. He'll be in sometime in the afternoon.
When your team trades for a guy like Kevin Hayes, what kind of lift does it give your group? I mean, obviously you got a bump with Stastny coming in last year.
Yeah, you know what? Again, he's not an old guy, but a veteran player, a guy who's played in the National Hockey League, and it's a player that you're aware of, right? So they know about him as a player, and then they kind of look down at their center ice, and it's pretty good, pretty strong, and that idea, having another big man in the middle of the ice, makes everybody a little bigger.
One quick one. I mean, a guy like Roslovic is a guy that obviously teams were interested in. Do you have a conversation with him now that he knows that he's still here or anything like that? Or,
well, Jack was never really up available. I mean, I get how the trade deadline works. They look at the young kids. They look at guys that other teams would want. But we're a really unique team this year. We're trying to do two things. We're as young as almost everybody up front going into the deadline, and at the same time we're expected to win every game that we play. So there's a lot going on, but the path of this team being built hadn't changed. You know, we had to identify the young players going forward that we thought would be here years down the road, and Jack's one of those guys. So they were really untouchable in that way. Conversation for Jack going hasn't changed. We need him to take this last 5-6 weeks of our season and be a better hockey player than he was, and they are. All of those kids, and that includes Mason Appleton, are far better players there now than they were in September, and we need him to maximize his game. So we've felt, going back to last year, that Little and Roslovic had some good action and some good chemistry together. And we very much liked what Kyle Connor's done there in the last couple of games, so we just left him.
Paul, how do you see Kevin fitting in on special teams?
So we'll go with Andrew Kopp on the kill in the hole that Mason Appleton was, and he'll go on the power play in a version of the hole that Josh Morrissey has, so we'll run 4-1 on both units.
And one of the common themes, I think, I mean, Kevin Hayes has killed some penalties before. Per Lindholm has killed penalties, and Matt Hendricks killed penalties when he was here last year. Is there any thought on your part that might be how you shave some minutes off of Blake Wheeler or Mark Scheifele?
Yeah, so you've noticed in the last two games we've had a pretty distinct change in the way the bench runs on our kill. We're running 8 forwards. And we liked very much our kill our last two games, our energy and our aggressiveness far higher than we've had in the past. So we'll continue on with that program and take some of the minutes even off Lowry and Tanev, because they were going out every second time, and with the idea of keeping our energy and our pace and our aggressiveness higher. All of those more skilled, if you will, players, the Wheeler, Scheifele, Connor, and Little, like the one-time rotation on a kill. It keeps them in the game, especially if you're unfortunate enough to be in the box more than 3 times in a game. So, yes, we did. We had Mark in Vegas under 20 minutes, and Blake in and around there. The minutes that they gave up were kill minutes. You know, it's just 20, 30 seconds on one or two kills that put you into 21 and 22 minutes, so we would prefer to shave those minutes down.
Paul, why was it important to get Matt Hendricks back in this room and in this environment?
He's exceptionally strong in a couple of areas, and one of them is setting a certain tone of culture of how you want your room to operate. When you were as young as we were, with good young players, they all want more, and I have no problem with that, but it's still a 60-minute hockey game. There isn't more for everybody. And then from probably a coaching staff point of view, the number of people that need help on every, just managing their day from on-ice video to mentally dealing with a completely different role than they've ever had before. Every one of these guys is a 20-minute guy, and boom, they're in the National League. And now, you know, they see the coach picking other young guys ahead of them to play, don't understand why, how that all works. That's a big part of turning pro. And Matt excels in taking those young players and keeping them on the right path when the coach isn't around or Blake Wheeler isn't around to talk them through their every day. It has a huge impact on your room and your culture and these young players learning how to be good pros.
So he doesn't wear a letter, but sounds like he's an integral part of the leadership group. Is he almost a modern-day player coach type of role?
Matt is a leader, and what is unique about him is that he leads from a low minute position. So he has no problem reaching out to the entire spectrum of our locker room, whether it's a 22-minute guy or a 6-minute guy, and helping shape that person's day about, you know, being positive, being excited. It's just leadership at the end of the day. Are you a person that the organization wants other players to follow? And Matt is, and do you have the ability then, the skill set that can identify a guy that needs help and reach out and have the respect of that player? So he has all those things here.
Just last word from me, but what are the challenges, I guess, of bringing five new faces? That's 20% of the room, basically, that turned over in a day.
So the challenge is getting them into the culture and excited about it, finding them enough to be excited about. Where that challenge, I would say, is mitigated is that that program is not a whole lot different than the five guys that may have held that spot prior. We were doing the same thing with them. They were new players, right? We were so very, very young. So we've kind of got to the point in the season by the trade deadline, say, okay, we've put in 6 months of, yes, trying to win, but pure development time, and we got good miles on some young players, the Appletons of the world, Roslovics, all of these guys, and now let's shift our focus here. We can get a little older for a couple of months. We don't have to buy a few more razors for the locker room, and away we go.